Welcome to Sword and Board, a Dungeons & Dragons Onslaught podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Sword and Board, a Dungeons & Dragons Onslaught podcast. Sorry, I left a look because Evan was taking a sip of his drink. Caught him right.
How we do it is, it's like we start the recording, he leaves and comes back, and it could be like 3 seconds or it could be like 60 seconds. So I'll check my phone real quick. I'll take a drink, you know, so he just caught me mid.
Yeah, mid a drink. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us again. We're going to try to keep the energy up. We actually recorded this once already and had technical difficulties. So this is actually our second recording of this, and that's why Evan's drinking. And so we're going to make a go at it, try to keep the energy up. You know, Evan, we got to be there for these people.
This is it. This is the one podcast you listen to on your commute that keeps you going, and I appreciate it.
The only one. Just a little note. We are now selling tokens, acrylic tokens. You can find them on the fifthtrooper.com/onslaught. You can get our acrylic token sets. Right now, we're covering the core set. And so we have one generic core set token board, and then we have one for the factions. You can grab those on the Fifth Trooper. And and so we're ready to talk. Next week, we're going to have three of us. We'll hopefully have Nick next week. But this week, you got me and Evan. So I think we're going to talk.
We're not bad.
Yeah, we're all right.
We're all right.
We've been okay. So today, we're actually going to talk about we had this really great podcast that you guys are never going to hear. By far the best podcast we've ever recorded.
Everything, all content we've done for 5 years.
It's just pure excellence.
That one was the best.
And too bad no one's ever going to hear it now because of the technical difficulties. So Evan and I, luckily though, since that happened, I was like, oh, shoot, are we going to like re-record everything we said, or like, how are we going to do this? And we're not. We're actually going to save that for another time, because WizKids launched, they put out 2 4-player scenarios today that you can play. So what do you think, Evan? Did you take a look at them?
Yeah, I have actually. So we do normally Jay and I, we do 2 in 1 night. We do this and we do our every game podcast. And the night before, last night, the new Shatterpoint rules came out, and he's like, should we go over them? I'm like, dude, I can't read a book of rules now. But you know what I can read? 1 page is pretty good.
Yeah.
Front to back, that's not bad. All right, let's go. So I actually did look through them. I'm really excited that there's multiplayer options now. You can do 2 to 4, and they say adjust the dragon stats depending on how many hero people are playing. So you can do 3 players with this. You just adjust the stats accordingly. They give you print and play cards for the 11th and 12th.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot. I will say, not wild about print and play, but the fact that it's there at all is cool. If you go to a store, just get like a deck of cards and just use them like that. You know, just like the tactile feel of cards is nice, you know. But whatever, a deck of cards is like $3, so
right.
Who cares, right? Yeah. To do that. So you get the extra cards, you can play that. Scenarios are pretty cool. So there's Divide and Conquer, which is the black dragon in the middle. It's cool to see that model get some play because it's really in like the end scenarios, which most people don't get to. But Grand Melee is the one I like. And it's 4-player, just hold points, beat each other up. But the best part about it is, I love how they sneak these little things in. So, game length, 8 rounds. The player who most recently won the scenario should henceforth be referred to as full name reigning champion of the Grand Melee by the other players. So, I'm kind of down for that. So, they look really cool. And it's anything that's 2-player that doesn't have a multiplayer option in any game you play can kind of suck because you have a third guy. Maybe only 3 people showed up to like Onslaught Night. Or like, you know, you have 4 and then like, we play each other all the time. So it's nice to be able to like whip this out and then You know, they did print to play, so you can cut out some stuff, or you can use your own whatever. If you have two people with core sets, you just take the objective point markers, and you're pretty much good to go. And you just, or if you need portals, we sell a wonderful looking portal for one of our acrylics. But you just whip this out, and you actually still have like a good time. You know, I'm sure it's not terribly balanced, but it's not the point. It's the point is like you're getting to actually play with four people, and everyone's getting to like do something instead of one guy having to watch, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's really nice because it's one of those things like, you know, how many times you get, you know, there's a lot of times you get together with four people and you want to really play Onslaught, but you're like, oh, it's only two player. I guess we'll just put that back on the shelf. So having these free scenarios that are four players, you know, I mean, yeah, I think the card thing's a little,
it's
a means to an end. Yeah.
Yeah. You know. It's a necessary evil. Right. Like, I don't blame, I'm not like, it's not really a nitpick. It's more of like a,
yeah,
because I sleeve mine in clear sleeves.
Yeah,
so I'd have to like figure that out. So just like, I'm sure your game store has like a deck of cards you can buy for like $3. You take out ace through, I don't know, king or something, whatever the 12th is, and then you just ace is your initiative card, and then the others are numbered, and then you all the backs are the same. You can shuffle them; they look fine, right? Like, who cares? So yeah, it's not like a nitpick. It's just like a I mean, look at like MCP. I got a tournament Saturday, and all the objective and like it's like secure and extract missions you pick two. They're printed and play for the update ones. I have them printed. They're still on a piece of paper. I gotta figure that out before I go. Like, how am I gonna do that? Like, gloom to magic cards or something?
Yeah.
So like that's a problem. But it's printed play is a better solution than just like not trying to create a four player scenario and being like, well,
yeah.
Sorry.
Right. Yeah. You can't, You don't blame them for doing the printing play. It's just really, it's great that they're providing free content, right? Like, so it's like, I mean, it's one of those things where you're going, oh, you know, cause it's been out for a little while now. So, you know, you could almost be through the scenarios in the base game, I think, or pretty close. And so you go, what the heck are we going to do now? And you go, oh my God, DLCs. And then they've got four player scenarios. They've got, they actually put out the benefit factor kit scenario one with like print and play cards and everything. Yeah. So it's just like, dude, what? Like, how cool is that?
That's cool. Like, free stuff is always free official stuff. So like, a lot of games who don't want to do this, like, you can make your own scenarios. And like, that sucks. Like, you know, like, it's not like super fun to do that all the time. I mean, it can be, and I'm sure there's some great games, but the fact that they just give you official content, so you can like, like, that's something. Another big one that I like about the Grand Melee is you draft characters. Everyone takes all the character cards, puts them in a pile, you roll dice, and then like, I believe, I got to reread it here. I believe it's like lowest number up gets first pick.
Yeah, so it says, okay, so in this scenario, parties are formed by drafting a pool of available characters. Take all available character cards from all players, remove any duplicates, and form a pool of draftable player characters. You will need at least three character cards per player. Then each player rolls a 20-sided die. The player with the highest roll chooses character first, followed by the player with the second highest, and so on. Players may choose characters from any faction and may freely duplicate roles in their party. That's so good.
Yeah, it's just like a very whatever, like, it's meant to just whatever, right?
Oh, so here's the thing you were talking about. After the player with the lowest die roll has chosen a character, they choose an additional character. Okay. Then each other player chooses a second character in ascending order of their die rolls. So that's cool.
And then you have three, and then you just kind of go for it. So that's cool, because you could have like, oh, what's a dream team? Chloe. We'll talk about her more next podcast. But like Chloe, having her, and then like any of the many Arrows characters.
Yeah.
It's like the Ranger probably. Just because you
get Chloe and then what's her name from Many Arrows that heals as well. Get both the healers and just
Chloe. The Druid.
Yeah.
Tree friend.
Tree friend. Yeah.
I go back and forth on names. I just got to start calling him class. So the druid and then the bard. So the bard is very good. But I mean, like, you can do whatever. You can just do three warriors and, like, stop me. Yeah. What are you going to do? Like, here I come. Or pluck with, like, pluck with, so the bard from Many Arrows with the paladin from Zhentarim. So you can really double down on that magic weapon.
Yeah.
So he's like three, three, three. You can really just become, make him like a beat machine. That's super cool. I really love that. And it's just like, it's almost like a Smash Brothers party kind of thing. Again, it's not meant to be like, this is the four player deathmatch tournament of, no, it's like, ah, man, just here's all our stuff. You know, like, let's go. Right. Like, it's meant to just be fun. And I really think that's cool. A really big fan of that. Or also, next point, don't do what I did and print it and not think to put it on two separate pages.
Right.
Or print the page twice and it double prints on one and I go, oh.
Yeah, I did it. I did the front and back.
This is particularly useless now to me.
Yeah,
I have
yeah.
to cut this stuff out. So,
Well, yeah, and I did it. I didn't even think about it. I just did it because for easy for the podcast tonight. And we're also showing it on the screen. But, like, yeah, I didn't even realize it. But we also, you know, because of what we do here at the Fifth Trooper, we do our own narrative campaign for Legion, a custom thing. So we actually print our own cards in-house. So I'll probably end up just printing the 11 and 12 out myself. And
that would be a cool custom thing.
Yeah, cards.
A custom initiative deck with 1 through 12. So, yeah. Like, two people that could actually get, like, a real, like...
Yeah, that would be cool. Product.
I mean, just a, I don't know. We're just spitballing. You have a cool idea for a Onslaught product aftermarket that you'd like to see.
Tell us, and we'll benefit.
Tell us, and we will take the idea. And you know, if you're lucky, we'll put your name on it. How about that? If we're... yeah, well, I don't know.
You said it out loud. That's free now. It's mine.
You shot it into the ether. Now it's public domain. But it's no, that's really cool. This was the one I was more interested in than the dragon, just because I like the fact that it's like just Smash Brothers, right? It gets just you're just there to fight. The dragon's cool. You do the same thing where you you draft and then the dragon stomp around, and there's victory points for dealing damage to the dragon. Over three, the final blows damage, defeated characters a victory point. Like it's and there's Cobalt. Like, there's a lot of, like, it's a pretty standard Onslaught experience, which is cool. Again, like, anything to get the Black Dragon on the table, because that's, like, the money character in the box. And I can tell you I've used it, like, twice, like, the last two scenarios. But, like, the tournament guides don't use it. It's the Troll and the Etten, mostly. Troll, Etten, and Kobolds, and the Gnolls. So, like, he doesn't really get to be on the board too much. So it's cool to just see him out there. And that's really good. But yeah, like we got two. So it was the normally it's the curse of the podcast where you record and then the next day they release something cool of whatever the whatever the thing you're talking about. Legion's notorious for that with us,
yeah. But since we messed up, we got to oh man, I felt so bad when I so being fully transparent with y'all from at home, Evan and Nick was actually going to be on this week, and we were going to deep dive into the Harpers and Chloe, and we did, and we talked at length about it, and none of Nick's audio got recorded, and so I felt really, really bad. I apologize to both the gents, and hopefully we can redo that next week.
Yeah, that's fine.
But, you know, we got done. This, which is cool. You know, I think, too, I'd like, you know, I could talk about this past week. I played the Death Knight scenario against my buddy Jeremy, and it was really interesting, and I really liked the scenario. And he was playing Red Wizards. I was playing Many Arrows, and he did some really neat stuff. You know, the Red Wizards have the two characters that can spawn zombies or skeletons, I guess. They're not zombies, they're skeletons. They could spawn skeletons and then control them. And, you know, it was just interesting because the way the rules are as written are is that he could spawn the skeletons inside. So basically in the Dark Knight Dark Knight, the Death Knight scenario. They're in kind of like a cage almost area, caged in area, and you basically can attack inside of it if you're from the from outside, and it, you can go in, but at the end of the turn, if you're inside the area, you actually get one damage dealt to you. And so he was kind of using the two red wizards who spawn the skeletons, and just like standing like outside in like one of the side green boxes, and just like spawning skeletons in here to fight the Death Knight. It was a really cool move, and it was interesting some of their like how they work together. You could definitely see that. I think red wizards are suffering from not having a kind of like a melee role, you know.
We've got one, but it's kind of a misfit. The other guys want to do spell stuff and work with skeletons, and like the dwarf, the fighter, I think it's a fighter, is cool because she has that reach where she can like stop the range one of the two. It's cool, but like I think she just gets kind of beat up by the other fighters. Like they're more your faction can't do everything. Right. Like, there has to be some like, but yeah, like any of the red wizards, you rock up to them and it's like, you know, the keyboard warriors having their skeletons do their stuff. Then all of a sudden that like dude has been working out at the gym all the time. Like the paladin from Zentarum rocks up to him. It's like, heard you were talking jibber jabber.
Yeah.
Give him a punk.
Well, the funny thing was, yeah, in our game, I was like, we're like round one or two. And I like, so the Death Knights share a health pool of 50, and they're really tough, right? And like trying to get in their zones, and I'm showing the zones on the screen now, but trying to get in these like red zones, and you stay in there, you're losing the health at the end of the round, right? So like you're kind of killing yourself by being in there. And so I was like, man, there's like so much going on with this. I almost don't think the characters interact. Like, I think you just go after the Death Knights and try to get them. And then no later did I say that, or sooner did I say that, like his next character turn, he literally attacks one of my characters and starts like beating me down. And I'm like, oh, that was a mistake. And I was playing the Many Arrows, which is just a bunch of beefcakes. And I just ran him at his characters and just started beating him down, which was really funny. And one of the funny things that he did, like, I didn't even see it coming, but the way you get victory points in this one is if you deal 3 damage to a Death Knight, you get 2 victory points. If you defeat the Death Knights and you're the one that made the killing blow, you get 5 victory points. And then if you defeat an enemy character, you get 1 victory point. And so I started killing his characters and then started doing damage to the Death Knight. And I started catching up on the points, but I was like really behind. So I'm like, okay, I got to go full tilt and I got to kill his characters, get these points, and then I'll hit the Death Knight with my other two characters. And I'm like about to, I think he had the initiative, so he had 1, I had 2, and he put the 1 on a character that had 1 wound left and was in melee with one of my characters, and he literally ran into the Death Knight zone, hit the Death Knight once, and then died at the end of his turn because of the 1 damage. And he's like, yeah, you don't get that point now, sucker. And I was like, what? I could not believe. I didn't even think of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and it's just like, oh, yeah, I didn't defeat him, did I? The zone did.
That's a good move.
Yeah.
It's like I've tried to do that before, unsuccessfully getting like a troll to punch me to death. It never hits you when you want it to. It always hits you when it like
was
convenient time. But yeah, no, that's pretty good. Like it's asset denial, Jay.
Yeah.
It's your characters are an asset to the enemy for victory points and you just deny them. That's the...
Well, you know, it's so funny because like my brain doesn't even work that way. Like my brain would never have been, yeah, sacrifice this man for the greater. Like my brain would have been like, either we're all out of coming out of this alive or none of us are. Like that's just how it like.
Yeah.
So like sacrificing one of my characters to like deny my opponent a point seems insane to me. But, you know,
that's cool.
Maybe that's why I'm not as good
So you mentioned the Benefactor.
Yeah.
Benefactor set that comes out this second quarter.
Yeah.
We're kind of like behind, right? So it's like we're not behind, but we're this month is Spell Swords.
Yep. Today was Spell Swords. They're officially out.
Spell Swords. Next month is the two character packs, I think. I get those in the Benefactor flip flop. I know they announced the dates.
You know, I was looking on WizKids' site today and it didn't. I don't think it had a
hard date.
Had a hard date yet, but I know it's coming, right? But yeah. Right now, you know, we're looking at it here on the share. You can download the scenario one. It's got print play stuff. It's got the Cobalt Duelist. It's got a Bugbear Brawler and a Gnoll Skirmisher, and then 1, 2, 6 of the treasure.
So, what I was going with this is if you read the back of the box, it's like, hey, this is super cheap. So you can supply your own miniatures and you save money. So $20 and you get a whole adventure. That's a pretty good deal. Or 24, 30, between the $20 and $30 price tag. That's pretty good. But let's say you wanted to get monsters and you're like me, I have like zero Dungeons and Dragons monsters.
Mm-hmm.
I mostly have like just random. I mean, when I was playing, we just did some goofy like 4-player game of Onslaught, and I was using like Gloomspite Gits as kobolds. We just put a mess of kobolds on the table. They all went on like 10-5 or something. It was like, can we fight the horde? We just made up our own little game mode. It wasn't super fun, but it was something to do.
Yeah.
But to that point, if you want the monsters you'll need for the Benefactor to kind of get yourself prepped and painted for them ready, you need a beholder. Which maybe probably the Benefactor. if I had to make a guess here, that's a beholder thing to do. You need a boulet. That's that that dirt shark guy. And I know they make for the benefactor for the beholder and the boulet or bullet. I'm just kind of saying it wrong, probably.
Doesn't matter. We're saying everything.
I just get by every day. You can get their pre-built and pre-prime models for like, I bought the boulet for like $8 or something. And I just painted him with speed paint and he was done in like 20 minutes and he looks pretty good. And a beholder's like, they have a framework one or they have like a pre-built one that was like $8. You can get that. And then they make a Icons of the Realm monster pack, Cave Defenders, which is the rest of the monsters you need. So it's three more kobolds. You probably already got kobolds, but two bugbears and an ogre. And they're pre-built and pre-painted. So the reason why I bring this up is a lot of people are drawn to Onslaught because there is no hobbying. And, like, I get it. And so anytime I can tell you what to buy so you don't have to hobby, I more than likely would like to do that.
Well,
so,
actually, I have another option for you at home, too. So we mentioned our acrylic tokens for Onslaught. So WizKids, if you go to dndmini.com, that's where they have their stuff. Under the they actually have, if you go to dndmini.com, you go to pre-painted minis and you go to 2D minis, they actually have acrylic minis that have the base sizes, so they're all flat and you can get a whole set for like $15. And so like if you I encourage getting 3D minis and either painting them yourself or getting a pre-paint because they're cool. But if you're on a budget, you know, and you want to get some of the Benefactor stuff, I believe that they have
The Goblinoid one looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It's ogre, a bunch of bugbears, looks like goblins.
So they have a pre-order for Q3, which is this, you know, coming up in a couple months, Idols of the Realms Beholder Hive.
Oh,
and so it has the beholder, it has a gazer, a minotaur, orcs, a lot of orcs, chief, a spectator, and a quaggath or whatever they're called.
I see it.
So and they have like heroes, like, so you could potentially
just do all 2D.
Yeah, get 2D as well, just at least for like the Benefactor stuff, you know, or stuff you're doing at home, or if you're going to run an event, you know, with your pals, you know, you could get the 2D.
Well, it's just kind of neat that, I mean, they're cheap, right? Yeah. They're cheap and they look pretty good.
Yeah, they're actually, I have a couple sets. They're very beautiful.
And it's, that's a big thing for that, right? Is like miniatures are expensive. Yeah. And like, and what the hell do you do with them? Like, I've got, I mean, like my room, my God, please. The camera stays up here and looks at that back wall for a reason. Around me is just like piles of like miniatures and things. And then my wall, my closet, my wall, in my wall, they're in my walls.
They're in my closet. I stuffed some in my walls, Jay. Put them in the walls. I keep my preciouses away from everyone.
Like the cask of Montiato or whatever. Like, you'll never see the light of day, Chewbacca. I've got like boxes of foam. Like a couple companies make like, you can buy a cardboard box and like foam it up and you just kind of open it, right? And it's like a storage case. Just full of miniatures, like that sucks. Like, it really sucks storing your minis. And the problem is, mini games are cool. Most of them are fun. Like, it's fun to paint them, fun to build them, fun to see what your friends do. And most of them are really cool war games. And there's something about like a battle game that the miniatures really improve it. Where like, if they're just 2D chits, like just bottle caps on a table, like you can still play the same game.
Yeah.
Like Marvel Crisis Protocol could be played completely flat. And the character base size, you just put a picture of Venom on the big base, right? Yeah. And that's Venom. And it doesn't matter because he's sized this, that 2D car sized that. He could see over car, like, it doesn't matter. But it really, like, takes a lot of the cool factor out, like, to the point of, like, what am I doing? But the miniatures really make it, like, when you see, like, a city street, like, you built this great looking city for Marvel Crisis Protocol, right? And, like, that with miniatures on that looks sick.
Yeah.
Like it changes the game, right? It's crazy how it like how it does that. So like these are like a good step between where they still look really cool on the table, but to store them you just like put them in a lunch bag or something, right? You
can
like,
well, they store flat, right? Like, yeah, and so for instance, they have another set, the Lich Tomb, which is a pre-order as well for 15, and it's got a bunch of skeletons in it, and like a skull lord, like a wraith, you know, a zombie beholder,
skeleton one.
But like, you know, if you're doing other stuff, but you're also running Red Wizards, like you could pre-order this, and now there's your skeletons for your Red Wizards.
Yeah, because I bought the Icons of the Realm pack, but that was like $30 or something for the pre-built, pre-painted, and this is 15.
Yeah,
and you get more.
Well, and right? I listen. I mean, I think part of it too is if you're going to be traveling and if you're going to be going to different events. You know, Evan and I know this better than most people, but like bringing tons of miniatures, especially if you're going to be playing multiple different types of games,
it sucks,
right? And so if you can minimize the amount of miniature, like 3D miniatures that you're bringing to an event, you know, why not? So like if you're playing Red Wizards, sure, would it be cool to have or skeleton 3D miniatures? Absolutely. Don't get me wrong, that's cool. But if you're like, listen, space is at a premium, I'm playing three other games, I just need to get this like into a succinct package, well, you get these 2Ds, and now you bring your little zombie friends in flat. Yeah. They're all flat, right? So it's just super cool.
That was actually a big issue for me. So I went to Adepticon. I signed up for Star Wars Legion World, so I had to bring that army. And then I brought all of my Onslaught stuff. I brought all of it, all the factions, because I didn't know who was going to want to play, and no one... Onslaught's still a very, 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 very small game, right? Yep. Like, a lot of people don't know what it is, so I expected zero people to have armies. So people tell me they'd like to play it, and I'm like, awesome. And so I put out my board, which, having a board and not having terrain, chef's kiss. Listen to the Fifth Trooper podcast if you want to hear me start a flame war in the Legion Discord about why I think 2D terrain's better for Legion.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is, you just put the board out, so that's pretty easy to pack.
Yeah.
But like all the miniatures and tokens and cards and like, because I had all the heroes, then I had my painted guys, my Zentarum, and then I had the skeletons for the Red Wizards, and then I had this like box full, like crammed full of all the upgrade cards. Like, it's a lot, man.
Yeah.
Like for a check bag, to have that stuff, all my clothes, and unfortunately I'm a CPAP user, so I need that thing in my bag too. Right, like my premium of stuff just like And even though Ansat's still pretty small, having to bring all that is a lot. So it would have been like, if they ever make like, hey, here's some 2D versions of our heroes just for funsies, right? Like, mm-hmm. or they say this is a proof proxy of that. That'd be great, man. Like, you just put the board, your cards, and then like a little like flat thing, like almost like a folder full of your units, you put them in and you're like, you're ready to party. So it's weird. So like miniature games were like, people wanted big miniature games, like 40K, Legion, like a lot of miniatures. Now the hot thing is the skirmish area, right? Skirmish is the new hot miniature game space to be in. And now it's almost like a race to the bottom. It's like, how small can we make this is like the, the thing. So I'm kind of here for it. Like, it looks good. Like, when you're playing sitting across the table, you know what you do? You just turn that mini, whoop, there you go, that 2D thing, and now you both see it and both look
so cool. You want to hear, you want to hear something amazing about those? I have a couple sets here, and they actually are double, they're printed on both sides, so it actually shows the back of the mini.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
It's actual back. Like,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's super cool.
So that's cool. Like, no shame in the game, man. If you show up, rock up with those through tournament, like, yeah, man, that's cool. Like,
Here's my view. If it's not your party and you use the official proxy list and you either use the ones out of the box or you do some of the framework stuff like Evan, you know, that's great for your party. But then when you have all these extra like wolves and skeletons and like all this extra stuff that you're like throwing out there, like the skeletons in particular are super weak, so they're not going to be out there for that long, right? Yeah. So, like, why invest in a mini when you can just use these 2D, you know, these 2D things and get a whole other thing of them for, you know, $15? And there's, I think there was like 15.
You get like 20, 16, 16 quote unquote miniatures.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's rough because it's like, the framework stuff is the hard plastic, so it is kind of brittle.
Yeah,
and is I like one of my arms fell off while I was traveling and re-glued that. Like, it was very annoying. But like, there is something to be said about the soft plastic stuff that they put in the box. Like, man, do I just not care? And I love it. Like, all my guys are just jammed in a bag. Like, it's fine. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, like, what do you care? So I, you know, like, I'll drop them on the table. I'm like, what? They're soft plastic. It doesn't matter. Like, they're meant to like. I mean, I'm not like stamping on them, but like if one falls off a table, you like one of my frameworks drops, I hold my breath. I'm like, you know, like what's going to knock off? Yeah. Oh, these like, knock the dust off, get the candy off them or whatever on the floor and put them up. Like,
yeah, I mean, and that's the similar to like the minis, the soft plastic pre-painted minis that come in the box.
You're like, love it.
You know, they do break if you're real rough with them, but like, you know, you can definitely not bend them a little bit and, you know, and they just glue back together. Or if you break it for, you know, it's like, they're easy to use. It's nice, and I think we've got enough complicated things in our lives, you know? So like doing a couple things easy is okay, Evan. It's okay.
Is it Jay?
Yeah, buddy.
Look at Angela's sprue. What is this? Why are there little strings? What? The picture shows her standing on the strings, Jay. What? How am I supposed to build this? Like, what is this?
Yeah,
I don't understand. Like, there's something, a little part of me that like misses X-Wing. I was just like, oh, Jango Fett ship out. It's pre-painted, pre-built, and looks good. Jackpot. All right.
Yeah.
Put that guy in a peg. So this like Onslaught hits that like hey man, it looks pretty good to me. Like oh wow, they have eyes. Like, dude, it's like you always used to make fun of the old Wiz, like way old Wizkids product, like the HeroClix.
Yeah,
like some of the early gen HeroClix were like, their eye, you know, like eyes were like this, and because they're painted by, hopefully a robot did that at least. But like now, the new stuff looks pretty good.
I think robot did like, it, buddy.
Yeah, no, I know it's probably some poor child.
No, I don't think it's. I think the reality is it's just people, right? And you're just there on an assembly line, and they're like,
oh, dude.
They're like, okay, Evan, your eyes, dog. And like, you know, 8 a.m., you get in there, you're like, you know, 8 to like noon, you got eyes, no problem. Then you go to lunch, and then that like 1 o'clock after lunch, like nap time, where you're like, man, I don't want to work. And now your eyes start to drift a little, and that right eye starts coming up mid-forehead, you know? And then...
Can you imagine having to do that?
Yeah, by like 5 o'clock, oh, you know, maybe your eyes up in your hair, because you're just like, stupid, eyes.
Could you imagine eyes. Just seeing an assembly line of like Batman coming down the row, or like Superman? You had to like, oh my god, I don't even want to do that to the things I like. Let alone things I don't like.
Well, maybe that's the smart way we should do stuff from now on. So instead of we get a bunch of us, and instead of doing just like the whole model, you know, Evan, you're in charge of feet, and so you do all the feet on these models. I'll do the pants, and that, you know. That's the way to do
you're
it.
You're doing some great feet work in there. Yeah. Really like it.
Evan, I'm real proud of your feet. These boots are primo champ.
These boots are primo. These are, what are those?
What are those?
Yeah, it's, but like models now, like they actually look pretty good.
Yeah.
Like the Onslaught stuff looks really good. Like, wait, like my painting skill is not great. I'm it's, getting better.
But you're getting much better. Listen, from where you started, my friend. Back in the day with deck primer and stuff, you know, now and model paints and melting your plastic, I think you've made it a long, long way. So
that was so proud
of you.
So quick tangent about the two things. One,
all right.
I thought everyone was stupid for buying like model paint like Citadel. I'm like $6-$7 a
you
bottle.
Idiots. I'm so much like, smarter than you.
I go to Hobby Lobby and I buy Tester's paint for $1.60. It's that oil-based paint, so it doesn't come off of anything.
Yeah,
it ruins your brushes. Yeah, ruins your sink. By the way,
yeah,
it's hard to get out of sink. That was hard to explain to my mom. I'm like, mom, I'm sorry. Just covered in like blue paint. So I wanted to do my stormtroopers to look like Cobra Commandos. So I painted them blue and they're shiny. And I'm like, yeah, this looks cool for whatever reason in my head. I thought. And then I give him like a silver gun and some red pauldrons. I'm like, yeah, Cobra. And then I Army Painter makes a good product, not for this, but it's called Quick Dip. And you just it's just a more or less it comes in a can like deck lacquer, and it's just like you pop it open and it's deck lacquer. It's what it is.
So yeah.
You take a wrench or gloves, you dip the guy in, and then you go outside and you just shake the hell out of him. So I'm outside it must have been like midnight when I just outside my house in like suburbia, just whipping it. Then the one I whipped and it came out and I had to go find it. I had my flashlight out. So he just like launched. And then like, but the problem was the quick dip and the testers, something didn't go right. So it kind of melted them. So they're like, all the guns had the, they weren't shooting the air. They were shooting the ground problem. And I remember I brought them out and I was like kind of proud of them. And people are like, what did you do to these models? And I'm like, what do you mean? And then, so that was my first tactical error. The next one was Jay mentioned, like, yeah, you just look, what are you going to hobby shops and buying primer for? You can go to a hardware store and buy primer too. And so I said, well, that's a good idea. So I went to Home Depot.
So here's the problem. Evan heard half of what my he heard the first half, which was, you know, you can just get primer at the hardware store at Walmart, and then the second part was the more important part, but I'm not even gonna tell you that till afterwards, because this is what Evan heard. Hey Evan, I don't know why you're spending so much money on this. You know, you could buy primer at the hardware store. You just have to get
I heard that and I'm like, done, okay. So I walked in there and I was gonna buy glow in the dark paint. I don't know what I was doing. I was at Lowe's actually. They're across the street. I get it mixed up. So I bought that and I went back and I just got clones. And I'm like, oh yeah, here we go. Spray them black, put, you know, do the clone armor over it, done, easy. So I spray them. And then I'm like, these look really good. Then I'm trying to put paint on it, but it's not sticking because it's deck sealant, not primer. Like it's a deck primer, not like model primer. So like the paint's just like kind of getting pushed around on it, and then I can just put them underwater and it just slides right off. And I'm like, ooh. And then you know what? I went up to Canada and I got my world invite with those deck sealant clones, and everyone made fun of me. But who's laughing now?
Right? I remember we were like busting your chops somewhere, and you're like, yeah, but watch this, and you like dunked it in water, and then
it just wicks right off, guys. It just wicks. Stupid now. What if you get caught in the rain, your little cookie tray full of
oh milk? Hey, I'm like, I'm walking to my table and my guy drops in a beer. Guess what? Doesn't matter.
Don't you just feel stupid?
Oh man. Yeah. Oh God. So good. Oh my god.
No, I was a big moron.
Oh man, my eyes are watering. Oh, that was really good.
I did end up saving them. I got some tips from some viewers of our other podcast, and I sprayed them over with normal primer. That took. And then, I mean, they're clones. They're not like,
yeah.
There's not detail.
Yeah.
It's the black helmet and the little thing. So, but.
Well, that's actually, that's something. So the full story is that, so for those of you that are listening that may be new to the hobby and you want to do like the frameworks. So if you go to Walmart, or Home Depot or Lowe's or any of these, you could get primer that actually, you got to get sticks to plastic. It says it right on the primer. It says all, it's like all surface primer, including bonds to plastic. That's the ones you got to get. And if you get those, they're really nice. I find the spray is really smooth. It's not as smooth as like if you get like a Citadel from Games Workshop, but there's way more paint in it. You get way more coverage and it's cheaper. Whereas, Citadel Games Workshop spray for their paint line is $20-$30 now. And you can get these for like $3 or $4.
I was going to say like, it actually like, so Army Painter is generally my go-to. Just because they're a little bit cheaper and I like the speed paint bed and I like the contrast paint, and yada yada. But I've had two cans of Army Painter.
Yeah.
I just bought a black one that like it gums up at the top.
Yep.
And I've never like had that. But like honestly, I will say about what was it, Black and Decker paint? I don't know what I bought. That can was smooth, baby. I was like, yeah, all right, here we go, boys.
Well, everything's nice. Turning up, Evan.
I am so smart.
Oh, my God. I recently, so we were, we'll wrap up here in a few, but like, I built a custom table for Adepticon for Legion, I was priming everything black. And I'm like trying to get to like prime it. I literally, this is the first time this has ever happened to me. I'm spraying, right? And luckily I had plastic down and everything and paper, and I'm spraying everything. I'm outside and the top like exploded and paint just goes whoop, like this. Hands were black. My whole, like, luckily I had it like down like mid waist. So like, I didn't get any on my face or my glasses or anything, but like my shirt just had this like black spray across it, the table, but I got most of the terrain. So it was actually fine at the end of the day.
I've seen that I might invest in is that gun you can get.
Where, oh
like, put the can in the gun. So like
the one after you mess up your minis, you just end up killing yourself.
That's it. It's in my briefcase. There's like
this revolver, and after I screw up all my minis, I just shoot myself.
That's it. Done, baby. We used to make that joke and see at Thieves would be like, you have your suitcase and there's like open up and there's a banana and a blunderbuss, and you're like, what's a banana for? When I'm sad. What's a flintlock for? When I'm really sad. Like, honestly, that's been me painting I did like a death march for myself to get all of my stuff done for Adepticon. Like I bought them one day, built them all, primed them all, painted them all in like one day, and then or 2 days, so over a weekend for Adepticon, and they came out pretty good. But now I'm doing death march for MCP, and I gotta stop that.
I'm not even, dude. I may or may not play, to be determined. But like, I'm not even bothering. Cause it's like, I don't know if I'll play this after this weekend. So and it's not, there's no requirements. It's a local thing. And as much as I do care about my minis being painted, they're primed and I've got 3 or 4 painted and I'm just going to call it solid. And then what I'll do is no matter what the threat is, I'm literally just going to pick the ones that are painted.
I thought about that too. Like, I had some characters like Nebula. No one likes you, Nebula. Yeah. Like, oh, you're in here because I have that 10. Like, Nebula, you're no one's favorite, right?
Yeah, I mean, I basically have 5 painted, so I'll just pick those 5 when I do my threat. That's all.
Perfect. All right. Yeah. They up the threat level so you can get those big boys in there.
Yeah, I got to print those cards. But yeah, hey, listen, everybody, thank you so much for listening. I know this was kind of an impromptu podcast, and I think it went great, but, you know, we definitely have a really good one planned with some really in-depth analysis and talk about some of the characters and factions. So
Nick's our so for the next series of Forever, we're gonna break down like one character or so each podcast, because we try to keep these about 45 minutes. Nick is a numbers guy, and he'll go over like statistically you're hitting on this, you're looking at this for movement, this is the best out of this faction, so he can give you like the rough numbers for that. Jay and I kind of play by the seat of our pants, there are like, it is nice to know like averages are important.
Yeah.
So you're like, I don't expect to hit this. And then you don't, you're like, okay.
Yeah. Right. I think, you know, it's funny, like Evan and I don't know about you, but I just play by feel and I'm like, oh, this feels good. All right, great. I'm going to keep doing it. You know what I mean? Like, that's how basically I run my whole life. This cheeseburger tastes good. I'm going to keep eating.
I'm going to keep eating these cheeseburgers.
These are good. Why would anybody eat stupid vegetables? Those are bad. I'm like President Comancho from Idiocracy. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Gatorade's good. What the hell are you drinking water for, nerd? That's me.
It's Crave.
Yeah. But anyways. All right. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Join us next week, and we'll break down some characters for you. You can join us on thefifthtrooper.com for some of our other content, or if you want to support any of our content, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/thefifthtrooper. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next week.
Everyone, stay rad.
Yeah, everyone.
Sword and Board is brought to you by the Fifth Trooper Network.